Good day, this is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, October 27th, 2020. And we'll start with the commercial news. Our first story from the front page today is entitled, Traffic Study Continues for Proposed Casino. And this is by Jennifer Bailey. Danville. COVID-19 has impacted some of the daily traffic on area roadways, with some employees not traveling to work as usual, but local officials still are trying to get a handle on how the proposed casino could affect traffic in the area of Lynch Road. Danville Development LLC is working with a consultant on a traffic study to include with the casino license application. Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. told aldermen last week the study is being finalized prior to city officials' review of the casino license application and prior to submitting the application to the Illinois Gaming Board. The Illinois Gaming Board meets Thursday and also next month. Lynch Road is city-owned, with it being transferred to the city from the state years ago, said City Engineer Sam Cole. We're the permitting entity for that, Cole said, regarding a potential new casino intersection, and it is being subject to the city's review. He said the casino developer's consultant is looking at traffic counts, but hasn't gotten into how big a new intersection could be and other details. Cole said COVID-19 has meant traffic counts are down, so they've been working with the Illinois Department of Transportation on methods to best approximate normal scenarios and the casino's impact. He said IDOT has provided technical assistance and commentary. Some traffic counts from last year are providing a good basis on adjacent roadways, but they have no counts for a proposed intersection yet, Cole said. Some of the areas they are looking at include Main Street and Eastgate Drive, Main Street and Lynch Road, a proposed Lynch and Eastgate Drive intersection, and Lynch Spur and Lynch Drive near the hotels. We are looking at traffic impacts to those locations beyond just the site itself, Cole said. Peak traffic in the Lynch Road area right now is 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. on weekdays. The Lynch main intersection handles about 1,025 cars per hour at peak. Lynch Road, Lynch Drive to the south, handles about 718 cars per hour during peak time. The Eastgate Main intersection can see about 548 cars per hour, and Eastgate and the Eastgate Court, next to the proposed casino site and the cul-de-sac, can see at peak 118 cars per hour, according to Cole. Traffic on Lynch also has increased this year with the cannabis dispensary. Traffic concerns with the casino were voiced by members of the Danville Area Planning and Zoning Commission and a nearby business. Cole said they'll continue to look at preliminary casino traffic generation numbers and how they will interact with existing traffic numbers. Our next story is entitled, Danville Readies for Trick-or-Treating, and this is by Jennifer Bailey. Danville. Although there may be changes, the coronavirus isn't stopping trick-or-treating for children in Danville. The Danville Police Department wants to help keep everyone safe, and trick-or-treating will be permitted in Danville from 5 to 8 p.m. on Saturday, October 31st. Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. said the city coordinated on having the same Halloween trick-or-treating hours as other communities, such as Tilton, to limit people traveling more and the spread of COVID-19. According to a police department press release, as we all know, we have to consider the challenges that are present due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Previously, we were primarily concerned with pedestrian and vehicle traffic in the roadways and other risks to our children's safety. We now have to be concerned with COVID-19 and those who are most vulnerable to it. Parents and guardians must be extra vigilant this year. Some may choose to cancel their children's participation, while others will choose to allow it and do so as safely as possible. That choice and responsibility will fall on the individual parents, guardians, and families. If a parent, guardian, or child is not feeling well, please do not take the risk. Also, there will be households who want to participate in distributing candy while others will not. Again, that will be their individual choice and should be respected. Many of the decisions not to participate may be based on health concerns, vulnerability, or simply not agreeing with the celebration during a pandemic. All of those are reasonable. Again, if anyone in the household is not feeling well, please do not participate. Like other events, many opt for alternatives. The Danville Police Department shares some information on ideas. The Illinois Department of Public Health has released the following recommendations and considerations for alternatives. Neighborhood trick-or-treating. 1. As an alternative to door-to-door trick-or-treating, anyone who would like to distribute treats should leave individually wrapped candy or treats on a table, on the front walkways, sidewalks, or any outdoor space that allows for at least 6 feet of social distance from the door. The individually wrapped candy should be spread out so each piece is not touching another. Anyone distributing candy or treats should wash their hands properly for at least 20 seconds before placing the candy on the table and when replenishing. All individuals participating in trick-or-treating, including those passing out candy, should maintain social distance of at least 6 feet and wear proper face coverings. A costume mask, such as those worn for Halloween, is not a substitute for a face covering. If face coverings are worn under costume masks, please ensure this does not create breathing problems. And if so, discard the costume mask. 3. Only household members should trick-or-treat together, and they should maintain 6 feet social distance from the other trick-or-treaters at all times. Mixed household trick-or-treaters are discouraged. 4. Alcohol-based hand sanitizer should be carried and used frequently. 5. Candy collected during trick-or-treating should not be consumed until after hand-washing. As always, a parent or guardian should check all candy to make sure it is wrapped and should discard unwrapped candy. 6. And of course, practice good dental hygiene as well. 7. Outdoor areas are preferred for trick-or-treating. Enclosed indoor areas, like apartment buildings, present greater risk of transmission. Open doors and windows as appropriate to promote increased ventilation. In promoting a Halloween that is both fun and as safe as possible, the Danville Police Department offers the following tips to children, the adults supervising them, and others who are out and about during those hours. For costumes, wear a protective mask under your costume mask. Avoid costumes that could cause you to trip. Make sure your footwear fits properly. Avoid masks that unreasonably reduce your vision. If wearing dark clothing, use reflective tape and/or carry a flashlight. Be careful of open flames or other heat sources from decorations. Many costumes can catch fire. Remember that many pets can get scared or may not recognize children in costumes. Treats. Wash your hands before you eat your treats. Check it before you eat it. Wait until you get home and have your parents or guardians inspect your treats. Throw away unpackaged items or candy that the wrapper has been opened. If something is suspiciously wrong with the treats, report it to the police. Stay safe rules. Respect your neighbors and the community. Use walkways and respect their property. Be polite. Travel in groups of 3 to 4 if not accompanied by an adult. IDPH recommends to stay with a household member. Visit homes in your neighborhood or those that are familiar. Have a predetermined meeting spot in case you get separated from your group. Do not go to homes with their lights or porch lights off. Carry a flashlight. Use sidewalks when available. If not, walk on the side of the street. Look both ways before crossing the street. Do not cross between parked cars. Do not start before 5 p.m. and wrap it up at 8 p.m. Do do not enter any home. The Danville Police Department also asks that residences that want to participate turn on your porch light. This will tell trick-or-treaters that it's okay to approach while also providing a safe walk to your door. Wear a protective mask and do not ask anyone if you are serving at your door. If your children are out with you, without you, know who they are with, where they are going, and who is supervising them. Have all contact information. Drivers, whether it is regular business or dropping off children, please drive with extra caution and slow down. Stay alert. Halloween, as other events this year, has added challenges. Make it safe by using good discretion, be smart, and be vigilant so that everyone comes home safe and remains safe. The police department hopes everyone has a happy and safe Halloween. Next up, we have a staff report entitled, "Guessy Man Allegedly Batters Officer." A rural Indiana man discovered that assaulting an officer with a car and making threats will land you in jail. At approximately 6:40 p.m. on Monday, October 19th, deputies were notified of a possible road rage incident that occurred at County Road 1350 North and County Road 300 West, just south of Rileysburg. It was discovered that a process server and Illinois law enforcement officer were attempting to serve papers to an Anthony J. House, 50, of Guessy, according to a press release issued Saturday by Vermilion County Sheriff Mike Phelps. When the server made contact with House, House became angry and aggressive towards the server. The process server decided to leave the residence in order to avoid confrontation with House. The process server began traveling westbound on County Road 1350 North toward the Illinois line when he observed House get in a red Chevy Suburban and begin to pursue him. When the process server slowed down at the 1350 North 300 West intersection, House rammed the rear of the vehicle. House lost control of his vehicle and came to a stop in a nearby field. Vermilion County, Illinois deputies were notified of the situation by the process server and arrived on scene. Once Vermilion County, Indiana deputies arrived on scene, they were notified that the process server went to OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville for medical treatment after the collision. Deputies were further informed that House had fled the scene on foot. Law enforcement from surrounding agencies attempted to locate House, but were unsuccessful at the time. House then began calling 911, making threatening statements to local law enforcement. Officers were able to contact House on his phone, and House continued to threaten them, stating he was back home waiting for them. Officers arrived at the residence and made contact with House. House attempted to run from the officers on scene, but was subdued after a short struggle. House consented to a portable breath test, which showed him to be at a 0.175%. After being cleared medically by Ileana EMS, House was transported to the Vermilion County Jail and booked in on the following charges: battery with bodily injury on a public safety official, a level 5 felony; battery with a deadly weapon, level 5 felony; resisting law enforcement, a misdemeanor; criminal recklessness, a level 6 felony; and resisting law enforcement, a misdemeanor. House has since been released after posting $1,500 bond. And I will turn to the obituaries for Tuesday. Our first today is for Peter Wallace. Peter Scott Wallace, 69, of Port Clinton, Ohio, and formerly of Danville, Illinois, passed away on Saturday, October 24th, 2020, at University Hospital in Cleveland. There will be no services, and his cremains will be scattered in Maine. Memorial contributions may be given to Friends of Ottawa National Wildlife Refuge at 14000 West State Route 2, Oak Harbor, Ohio, 4449. Nidecker, Crosser, and Priesman Funeral Home and Cremation Service is handling the arrangements. Geraldine McKee. Geraldine Ruth McKee, 72, of Georgetown, passed away at 1:36 p.m. Sunday, October 25, 2020, at her home. A celebration of Geraldine's life will be held at 1 p.m. Wednesday, October 28, 2020, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Georgetown, Illinois, at 200 East West Street. Phil Miller will be officiating. Visitation will be held from 12:30 p.m. to 1 p.m. on Wednesday, prior to her service at the funeral home. She will be laid to rest in Holt Cemetery in Chrisman. It is kindly requested face masks be worn and social distancing is practiced by all those in attendance of the visitation and service. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be given in her name to First Church of Christ Food Pantry or Vermilion County Animal Shelter. Richard Joe Matthews. Richard Joe Matthews, 80, previously of Perrysville, Indiana, passed from this life surrounded by his loving family on October 20th, 2020. There will be no public viewing or services. Joe will be laid to rest at Walnut Cemetery at a later date. The Matthews family has entrusted all arrangements to Meng Family Funeral Home in Odin. Kenneth Pruitt. On Friday, October 23, 2020, Kenny Pruitt of Westville, loving husband, father, and grandfather, passed away at the age of 68. A celebration of Kenny's life will be held at 12 p.m. Friday, October 30th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Westville. Pastor James Blue will be officiating. Visitation will be from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. on Friday, prior to his service at the funeral home. As per his wishes, Kenny will be accorded cremation rites. It is kindly requested that face masks be worn and social distancing is practiced by those in attendance of visitation and service. Kathy Miller. Kathy Miller, 63, of Georgetown, passed away at 9:31 a.m. Thursday, October 22nd, at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. A celebration of Kathy's life will be held at 2 p.m. on Thursday, October 29th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Georgetown. Pastor Ryan Harris will be officiating. Visitation will be held 1 hour prior to her service at the funeral home on Thursday. It is kindly requested that face masks be worn and social distancing is practiced by those in attendance of the visitation and service. She will be laid to rest in Oak Hill Cemetery in Danville. Memorial donations may be made in her name to the donor's choice of charity. Joanne Eileen Julian. Joanne Eileen Murphy Julian passed away in Paint Lick, Kentucky on Thursday, October 22, 2020, due to complications related to Alzheimer's disease. A celebration of life service will be held at 10:30 a.m. on Friday, October 30, 2020, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville at 3940 North Vermilion Street. Brother Gordon Delp will officiate. Interment will be in Sunset Memorial Park. A visitation will be held on Thursday, October 29, 2020, from 5 to 7 p.m. at the funeral home. In lieu of flowers, the family asks that donations be made to the Alzheimer's Association or the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints Humanitarian Fund. The family asks that you wear her favorite color, blue, on Thursday and Friday in her honor. It is kindly requested that those in attendance of the visitation or service wear a mask and practice social distancing. William J. Smitley. William Bill J. Smitley, 56, of Danville, passed away at 7:25 p.m. on October 22, 2020, at his home in Danville, Illinois. A celebration of life service will be held at 2 p.m. on Tuesday, October 27th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville, Illinois, at 3940 North Vermilion Street. James Blue will officiate. Entombment will be in Sunset Memorial Park, with military rites accorded by American Legion Post 210. Visitation will be held on Tuesday, October 27th, 2020, from 1 to 2 p.m. at the funeral home. It is kindly requested that those in attendance of the visitation or service wear a mask and practice social distancing. Memorials may be made in Bill's memory to the American Cancer Society. Lou Ann Brown. Lou Ann Brown, 66, of Danville, died at 8 a.m. Sunday, October 25th, at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. Services will be private. Burial will be in Resurrection Cemetery in Danville. Rortvedt Funeral Services at 3 South Hodge Street in Tilton is in charge of arrangements. Geraldine McKee. Geraldine McKee, 72, of Georgetown, died at 1:36 p.m. on Sunday, October 25th, 2020, at home. Visitation will be from 12:30 to 1 p.m. Wednesday at Sunset's Houghton Leisure Funeral Home at 200 East West Street in Georgetown. Funeral services will immediately follow, also at the funeral home. Phil Miller will officiate, and burial will be in Holt Cemetery in Chrisman. David Simonic. David Simonic, 67, of Urbana, passed away at 11:43 a.m. Friday at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. A memorial visitation of David's life will be from 10 a.m. to noon Wednesday, October 28th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Westville. As per his wishes, he will be accorded cremation rites and later laid to rest in Georgetown Cemetery. It is kindly requested that face masks be worn and social distancing is practiced by those in attendance of the visitation. Memorial donations may be given in his name to Carl Cancer Center, Urbana. And returning to some other stories today from the commercial news, our next is a staff report, and it is titled, Three-Vehicle Crash on I-74 Claims Life of Ohio Woman. One woman died and two others were injured in a three-vehicle crash Sunday afternoon on Interstate 74 at the 10-mile marker in Fountain County, Indiana. The interstate was closed for 2 hours after the crash as police investigated and cleaned up the scene. The victim in the fatal crash was identified as Patricia Cabe, 29, of Reynoldsburg, Ohio. Following is information released about the crash by the Indiana State Police. Preliminary investigation by Trooper Chandler Stanton revealed that a black 2013 Hyundai Elantra was traveling westbound and drove off the roadway for an unknown reason. The vehicle drove through the median and into oncoming eastbound traffic. The interstate at this location does not have a cable barrier, median divider, or guardrail. The Hyundai collided with the passenger side of a gray 2005 Acura TL driven by Ryan Murphy, 19, of Hinsdale. The Acura was then rear-ended by a red 2015 Chevrolet Camaro driven by John Moore, 47, of Louisville, Kentucky. All three vehicles came to rest in the South Ditch. Murphy was transported by StatFlight to Carl Hospital in Urbana. Moore was transported by EMS to Franciscan Health in Crawfordsville. Both drivers suffered serious but non-life-threatening injuries. The driver of the Hyundai was pronounced dead at the scene of the crash by Fountain County coroner. She was the only occupant of the vehicle. The driver of the Hyundai Elantra has been identified as Patricia Cobway, 29, of Reynoldsburg, Ohio. Notification to next of kin has been made. Trooper Stanton was assisted by troopers from the Lafayette Post at Indiana Conservation Officer, Fountain County Sheriff's Department, Vermilion County, Indiana Sheriff's Department, Covington Police Department, Covington Fire Department, Vetersburg Fire Department, Fountain County EMS, St. Vincent Stat Flight, Maskell Towing, and Plunkett Towing. Next, we have another staff report entitled Library to Host the Kilted Man, Celtic Musician. Danville. This November, Danville Public Library will host a concert by Matthew Guernsey, the Kilted Man. Matthew Guernsey delights audiences of all age groups with his rousing performances of traditional Irish and Scottish music, according to a Monday press release issued by the library's Jennifer Hess. Through the marriage of wit and finesse, he charms his audiences, sweeping them into tales of wayward voyages, unrequited love, and the vibrantly colorful lives of the everyman beloved of Irish tales. His unique talents, with traditional and rare Celtic instruments such as the concertina, bodhran, bones, mandolin, penny whistle, and bowed psaltery, add an air of authenticity to each piece, and his stirringly rich bass voice provides the foundation for the hauntingly beautiful melodies. The Kilted Man will take place at 2 p.m. Saturday, November 7th, on Zoom. The event is free and open to all audiences. Register at tinyurl.com/dpl-kilted-man. For more information, please visit danvillepubliclibrary.org or contact Jessica Augustin at J. Augustson, and that's spelled J-A-U-G-U-S-T-S-O-N, at danvillepubliclibrary.org. The library is located at 319 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Library hours are Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. The library website address is danvillepubliclibrary.org. And finally, from the community briefs section today, we have in Danville, VCHD to host flu clinics. The Vermilion County Health Department has received additional doses of vaccine and will be holding 5 adult drive-through flu clinics at the health department. Dates and times for the clinics include Wednesday, October 28th from 9 until noon, Thursday, October 29th from 9 a.m. until noon, and Friday, October 30th from 2 to 5 p.m. Additionally, Friday, November 6th from 1 to 4 p.m. and Saturday, November 7th from 9 a.m. to noon. Pneumonia shots are available by appointment. The VCHD will bill Medicare, Medicaid, and most private insurance and the state for state employees. Private pay fee is $38. VCHD accepts cash, credit, and debit cards. The health department is located at 200 South College Street in Danville. Call 217-431-2662, extension 249, for details. Also, the Vermilion County Judicial and Rules Committee meeting scheduled for today has been canceled. Please contact the County Board Office with any questions or concerns. And in Rossville, the Police, Health, and Safety Committee scheduled to meet tonight at the Rossville Municipal Building has been moved up an hour to 5 p.m. The agenda for the meeting was posted at the office on Friday, October 23rd. And that takes us to the end of our time for today, Tuesday, October 27th, 2020. My name is Greg. It's been a pleasure to read for you, and I hope you have a fantastic day. Take care and stay safe.